Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you know what teachers are doing this time of year? No, they are not taking vacations anymore. They are getting excited about a new year of teaching. They are in their classrooms. In our school, they are planning out literally every week and every day of the new year with block lesson plans in math and science and history and language, to mention a few. They are thinking about learning experiences for this new crop of students that will be in their care in just a few weeks. And so they are licking their chops to use a new approach maybe that they learned perhaps at a workshop this summer. And why? I can tell you. It's not because of a paycheck. It's because they have the gift of teaching. And the thing that makes teachers tick is watching a light turn on in the minds and eyes and hearts of the children in their care. That is their greatest reward. And any student with an ounce of wisdom will be grateful afterwards that a teacher did such planning and forced them into an area of learning that may have caused them to sweat a little bit at the time. Thank God for teachers. I invite you to dive with me into this watery account today of our gospel as the Lord Jesus takes his dear disciples into a frightening and yet oh so valuable lesson on the most important thing he could give them, and that's trust in him as God's own Son. Jesus will give us many things in this life, but none is so important for us as learning to trust in him when we don't see him, and when the winds and waves of life are beating against us. Let's see how the Master teaches disciples like us, disciples of little faith. This account follows on the heels of the fantastic account we considered last week, the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. People were so impressed by Jesus and his power to provide food that they wanted to turn him into their new king. Jesus would have none of it, and he dismissed the crowd, telling them to go back to their homes with their bellies filled with the blessings he had given to them. But the sun is going down, and Jesus does four things to get his own disciples ready to trust him in a deeper way than just being someone who can provide food for them. Let's look at each one of these ways. First, he sends them away from him, telling them to get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the lake. They needed to learn that faith grows when they can't see him. It's the writer to the Hebrews that says to us something that we need to consider here. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hang on to that thought. Second, he sends them into a headwind on the Sea of Galilee. Now, some of them were seasoned fishermen, so they were used to waves. But Jesus crafted his lesson on faith using his all-powerful force as the Son of God to raise a headwind to oppose them, forcing them to struggle against the elements, to prepare them for a deeper level of trust. Faith doesn't grow in a vacuum. It grows in the context of struggle. Think of how God built Abraham's faith by asking him to give up his son, or how he developed Israel's faith by forcing them out into the brutal desert of Sinai, or how he taught Elisha's servant to trust God by first surrounding the city of Samaria with enemy Syrian armies. Faith doesn't grow when the sailing is smooth, but when the headwinds are opposing us. Third, late at night, Jesus comes to them in a way they don't expect and had never witnessed before. He comes walking on the water, terrifying them. "It's a ghost," they cry out. Jesus intentionally surprises them. In all their time with him, they still had not imagined him doing something like this, walking to them in the dark on the waves. Is surprise a good teaching tool? Oh, yeah. Teachers love building in surprises to their lessons. Like my third grade teacher who heated up water in a metal can till it was steaming out of the top, then screwed on a cover and with a smile on her face, took an ice cube to the side of the can. And we all let out a shout as the can began to contort and implode upon itself. Do you think we'll ever forget that surprising lesson? Do you think Jesus' disciples ever would forget the night that Jesus surprised them in the dark of the Sea of Galilee? Every morning when you wake up, you should know that there's a good chance that your faithful Savior will surprise you this day through some interaction, maybe some event, even through something that seems, yes, a bit unpleasant at the time. Fourth, he speaks words of comfort. "Take courage," he shouts to them. "It is I. Don't be afraid." Scripture teaches us that faith comes from hearing the message about Christ, which is a message of comfort and encouragement and forgiveness. Faith needs something to cling to, just like a climber needs solid rock or a handhold to cling to as he hangs from a sheer cliff. Jesus gives us that handhold. "It is I." It's not some ghost or phantom. "It is I, coming to you in a way you never expected." To know that Christ is with us, that he invites us to take courage and to leave our fears behind, is a tremendous comfort. His gospel of peace drives our fears far away. Now, you can't go through an experience like the one they went through without it doing something inside of you, as it did to Peter. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you out on the water." You've got to respect Peter for this request. How many of us would willingly leave the safety of a boat to try walking on a stormy lake? It's almost like he's putting Jesus to the test. "Show yourself to me, Lord. Show me your power and your presence firsthand." Jesus honored his request. "Come," he said. Have you ever noticed that Jesus is often holding out to you his hand and saying, "Come out on the waters and trust me to see you over them"? The waters are often a metaphor for difficulties and challenges, like crossing a fast river is a challenge to the hiker. Sometimes they are the waters of an uncertain future or the waters of a present crisis. And Jesus doesn't say, "Stay in the safety of the boat." Instead, he bids you to walk out on the water with him. That doesn't mean our faith instantly is perfected, complete, and strong. He may allow you to doubt and founder in your faith as Peter did. We read, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me!'" Sometimes experiencing a weakness in your faith is the best way for God to begin to strengthen you. "God, you don't seem to be answering my prayer, caring for my needs, delivering me from my sorrows." But then he faithfully catches you. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Not for one second was Jesus out of control of the situation. The wind, the waves, the life of his disciple were completely in his power and care. That's what he wanted Peter and all his disciples to realize. There was never a reason not to trust him. And they finally realized it when the wind and waves suddenly became still as Jesus stepped back into the boat. They worshiped him. "Truly, you are the Son of God." Isn't this the final goal of all Jesus' teaching? Teachers of earthly disciplines like math or science or language or social studies have a goal of helping students become productive members of society and have a successful life in this world. That's a noble thing, and we are grateful for those who have made our lives here richer for it in so many ways. But there's only one teacher who is thinking about a goal far bigger, the goal of eternal life with God. A life which far surpasses anything this world can offer. A life which will never end. And that's Jesus. St. Paul delighted in this kind of teaching and reminded Timothy of it when he said, "Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith. It's a reminder that the only way human beings can have the hope of eternal life is through a relationship of faith with God Himself. Peter did not stand on water by having buoyant feet or by frantically moving them fast enough to stay on the water. The only thing that kept him on the water for a short time was having his eyes on Jesus and trusting his powerful invitation to come to him. The thing that made him sink was not that he was too heavy or had the wrong shoes on. It was taking his eyes off Jesus and putting them on the wind and the waves. And so it is when it comes to God's greatest gift, the gift of righteousness and peace with God, the gift of eternal life. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Your sins and mine are so serious that they require a divine solution, one that only Jesus could provide by his holy sacrifice. And only by faith in him do we cross over the treacherous waters of sin and death. Is it any wonder that Jesus is busy teaching faith to us? One woman gave a fascinating illustration of teaching faith. She said, "When I was a swimming instructor, I spent a lot of time trying to get little kids to float. I would tell them to put their ears in the water, their belly buttons out of it. And I'd say, 'When I count to two, you won't feel my hands underneath you, but they're there.' As soon as I'd say two, most of the children would frantically jerk their knees toward their chins and flail their arms, dropping their full weight into my hands. Almost all people float when they assume a posture of rest. But people who think that they'll sink don't keep that posture for long. Faith, too, is about a posture of rest. By nature, we are terrified by the life of faith, needing always to feel the support of steady jobs and steady relationships and backup plans and things going well. God, knowing that, signed us up for swim lessons. God intends to make a swimmer of us, and he often teaches us to rely on him through what seem like disasters. And so, we're led to ask the question, Jesus, are you teaching me to trust you? You know the answer to that one. Of course I am, he would say. I love you that much. And if it means sending you out in a flimsy boat on a stormy lake with the winds blowing against you and allowing you to get scared by what you see so that you begin to hear my words, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid, well then, so be it. And if it means permitting you for a time to sink below the waves and feel like you're going to drown so that the only option you have left is to reach up and take my strong hand, then that's a good thing. And if at times I need to look you in the eye and ask, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Do not resent me for it. I have a grand plan for you that is for eternity. Let me take you there. Amen."